This morning, as we gather together, as you see in your bulletin, that fear of God, but we are to fear not. And that maybe is a confusing statement. That's maybe a confusing title. And yet, as we look at God's Word, that's what we have from God's Word. We have that understanding that we are to fear God, that we are to fear Him above all else. And yet, at the same time, we are to love Him. Fear and love God above all else is what we learn in our catechism so many times. I'm not sure how you as a congregation have continued to talk about or are preparing each other and your future generations that we see here with you in the pews this morning. How are you preparing them for the persecutions that are to come? How are you preparing them for the persecutions that we are starting to see more and more in America today? We see as a nation that we are against all forms of authority. And if we looked at our Father who is in heaven as the greatest form of authority, how do we see this generation? How do we see our nation who doesn't even honor, doesn't respect their fathers, honoring and respecting the Father who is in heaven? A Father who some maybe have not ever heard of. They respect no authority today. The recent Pew report, I don't know if you guys saw that from the Pew Research, showed a decline in Christianity. Granted, it is by name, those who claim Christianity as a name, while those who claim to be unaffiliated, and here the survey assumed atheist, on a rise. That's scary, folks. That's scary because that lack of fear of God, that lack of understanding of who Christ is, that lack of understanding where our morals come from, and we end up with a crazy nation, crazy activities, violence like we haven't seen. I'm not sure if the violence that we saw in South Carolina was terrorism or lack of morals. Was that young man really trying to terrorize people? Or did he not know? Did he not understand? Did he not understand the value of life? Of any life. What's the difference between going in and shooting up a church or aborting children? There's no value in life. That's that concern we have. That's the fear of God that we must have. And yet, as Christians, we are not afraid. As we look at persecution, we look at the risks of those who have been born again, who hold to Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Today we are being told by Christ himself, as we look at his scripture, don't fear this world. Don't fear those who merely can take your life. Christ is speaking to believers. If you're here today because you believe in Christ Jesus, because you love Christ Jesus, because Christ Jesus is your Lord and Savior, he is talking to you this morning. If you don't know Jesus is your Lord and Savior, today as we go through this message, you might go, yeah, but I don't want to die. Yeah, but death is the end. For we as believers don't hold that view. We as believers rejoice. We as believers celebrate because we know about eternity. I heard this concept at work in the last week or so. A theory that implies that it's getting pretty bad in America. It's getting to a point where if you believe in Christ Jesus, you maybe shouldn't say anything anymore. Keep it quiet. Keep it to yourself. Because there's going to be a time and a point where people are going to start to abuse you. Maybe you lose your job. Maybe you lose your business because you're a Christian and you refuse to do things because you're a Christian. That's not what Scripture tells us. Scripture tells us we are to share, that we are going forward. We must stand upon the Word of God. We must boldly proclaim who Christ Jesus is. We must share why we have hope. Always be ready, in season and out, of why you have hope, why you have joy, why you know Christ Jesus is Lord, and through that, you're filled with excitement to go forward, filled with excitement to tell others what's been happening in your life. Not because you're proud and boastful in everything that you've done, but because of what you were. And God made you again. God created you anew, and you became His only son. Many of us grew up in Sunday school singing the song, "This Little Light of Mine." Wow, is that going to be true? If you don't wake up each morning from this day forward singing, "This Little Light of Mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine." Because folks, we have to share the light of Christ. We have to share the love of Christ. Because this world is trying hard to blow that light out. And we know that it will always shine. This morning as we sang, it only takes a spark. It only takes a spark to get a fire going. Death, destruction, doom, people that are just sad all the time. It only takes a spark to see the joy in one of you that are sharing with your grandchildren, maybe you're sharing with your kids, maybe you're sharing with people at work, that little spark, that joy and that excitement that you have because you're a Christian, soon others start to warm up. Soon others start to realize who Jesus is in their life. And they get excited and they want to share with others who Christ is and what he's done for them and why they celebrate Christ Jesus, knowing that salvation is by faith alone. Salvation is from Christ Jesus alone, that he is the light. He is the flame that we hold to, that we warm up in because of what he did for us. And we shout it from the mountaintop, don't we? That's our call. That's what we were told to do. That's the Great Commission. Go forward and shout it from the mountaintop. And it's pretty simple. Hey, world! Because I want my world to know the Lord of love has come to me. I want to pass it on. God's not asking you to be a sound theologian. God's not asking you to come up and stand behind the pulpit. God's asking you to share with others. Hey, look what he did for me. Hey, look how he changed my life. Hey, look at the joy that I now have because of what he's done for me. Yeah, I've had hard times in my life. Yeah, I've been beat up a few times. Yeah, I've lost people that I loved in my life. But oh, the Lord is good. He's good all the time. That's the joy that we have in knowing Jesus is our Lord and Savior. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me to Luke. And we'll take a look at a couple verses in Luke chapter 12 where Christ Jesus is speaking to a crowd, and he's speaking specifically to us this morning. We'll start reading at the fourth verse this morning. "I tell you, my friends, do not fear those who kill the body and after that have nothing more that they can do. But I will warn you whom to fear. Fear him who after he has killed has the authority to cast you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Are not one of them is forgotten before God? Why, even the hairs on your head are numbered. Fear not. You are more valuable than many sparrows." Father God, as we read your word this morning, we ask that you would open our hearts and our mind. For we come forward as your own dear children. Lord, children that you know. Lord, would you wake us up? Lord, wake me up. Help me to see today the meaning of Christ's words in order that I will be encouraged. Lord, would you sanctify me so that I can return to you all glory and honor. May our time this morning be blessed with the Holy Spirit as our translator and as our guide. Father God, we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. First thing to note here is, look how Jesus, in the midst of many thousands, if you go back to verse 1, in the meantime, when so many thousands of people had gathered, in the midst of this group, in the midst of this congregation, Jesus calls us friend. Jesus doesn't look down and say, "Oh, you wretched sinners, all you horrible people." He reaches out and says, "Friends." He calls us friends. When we have done nothing to earn it, he calls us friend, his friend, the Son of God, who went to the cross to purchase my sins, He went to the cross to purchase your sins. He calls you friend. He's not lording over you. He's not demanding over you. He's not empowering or just oppressing you. That is the gospel, or that is the law. That's what the law does. The Holy Spirit wakes us up. The Holy Spirit has us open to His Scripture. The Holy Spirit points to us to the law, and we go, wow, I can't do that stuff. There's no way I could do that. I could never do that. I've done that today. I've done that today. I just did that. We can't follow the law perfectly. Jesus came to be your Savior. Jesus came to be your Savior. He did not come to condemn you. He did not come to tell you things that you did wrong, because the Holy Spirit does that as the Holy Spirit opens the law to you. Law and gospel. The law shows to us that we are sinners. The gospel shows to us that Jesus loves us, that God had a plan to save us, and He sends His Son to do that. Jesus' words for believers on this day, when He wrote this or when He said this, His message for us now this morning, for those who believe in Jesus on a personal level, who commune with Him on a daily basis, is building a relationship, isn't it? How can we call Jesus our friend if we don't know Him? Think of those times when you go, oh, my friend and I, we were out hunting the other day, or we were sewing, or whatever your hobby is, and we did this, and he said this really great thing. If you don't read God's word, if you don't commune with Jesus on a daily basis, how can he be your friend? We have to build that relationship. That's what we are called to do, to share in that relationship with our brother and, yes, our Lord, because he is our Lord. The Holy Spirit has brought me to these verses somewhat through some of the messages that we've been sharing over at SingSauce, somewhat through current events, somewhat through things that go on in the lives of a believer. The Holy Spirit is telling us, I know some of those messages have been hard. I know some of the news has been hard. But don't fear. God loves you. Jesus tells us. Jesus reminds us as we take a look at these verses of God's own plan. God's plan and our assurance that in Him we have everlasting life. Telling us that being afraid of God or fearing our God is not the same as being afraid of physical death. Jesus reminds us that don't fear those who can kill the body only. And we may think that's an odd type of assurance. Some of us that are younger maybe don't think as much about it. Some that are getting older are thinking, well, I don't know. You know, it's right there, I think. God says, don't fear that. Jesus says, don't fear death. We see it as so final, don't we? Our world is conditioned as such. We've been taught this. We've been raised in a culture that tries to sell us stuff to remain young. Buy this dye so your hair doesn't look old. Try this treatment so the hairs on your head don't look so thin. Right? All these things that our culture and society tell us, subliminally is teaching us, don't get old. You don't want to get old. Getting old is bad. When I was younger, I didn't have a tumor. When I was younger, I never thought about having hearing in both ears. I just assumed it was always there. Now that I'm older, hearing in both ears is pretty cool if you had it. Don't think that it's not a blessing, because it really is. That's what society is telling us. But Jesus here is not talking about physical death. He's not talking about that death. He's saying, when he's saying don't fear those who can just kill you, he's not saying don't fear death. He's saying don't fear those who can merely kill you. Jesus is talking about the fear that we have as Christians, the fear that we have of offending those around us when we proclaim Christ Jesus, when we proclaim to live according to Christ Jesus. Because we have new life in Christ, maybe you're afraid to tell others. Maybe you're afraid to share with others of what they might say, what they might do. You want to hide that light, don't you? Maybe you don't want to hide the light. Maybe you want to take a bushel basket, which I never really understood that in the song. You want to take a bushel basket, and you want to just tip it. Because you want to see that light, don't you? You want to know Christ is in your life. You want to know the love and the joy that he is showing to you? But maybe I'll just shade it so nobody else can see that light. Don't be afraid of those people that are causing you to want to hide that light. That's what Jesus is telling us here this morning. Don't fear those. Don't think, well, I'm just going to hide my light so nobody can accuse me of being a Christian. Nobody will threaten me. Nobody will kill my family. For God knows, man. Christ Jesus knows your heart and wants you to know that in him, you must not fear those who threaten you as you stand upon the word of God, emboldened by the Holy Spirit. Look at that church in South Carolina this morning. The power of the Holy Spirit, the power and the work of God. I'm not sure the last time that church was filled to capacity. Maybe it's every Sunday. And praise God if it is. But if it's like many of our congregations around here, they're not filled to capacity. Look at that church today. In the face of persecution, in the face of brutality, the members of that congregation have come out of the woodworks to praise God, to offer forgiveness for that young man who took the lives of so many because they were forgiven. Don't be afraid of those who can merely kill the body. As we look at what Jesus is telling us this morning, many in America want to point to verse 5, and we're going to focus mostly on verse 5 this morning. They want to convince us that, one, God doesn't exist. God doesn't exist. That's what America tries to tell us. God's dead. If you saw the movie God's Not Dead, that was the thing that they had brought out in that movie. God's dead. Move on. God's dead. God doesn't exist. Or two, if God does exist, they point to verses such like as this and say, he's such a horrible, angry old man up in the sky. Why would you follow him? If you're supposed to be so fearful of him, why would you follow him? They take this verse, Luke 12:5, and they put a negative marketing image on it, don't they? They take something that is so beautiful and so wonderful and so enlightening to us as Christians, and they put a negative image on it and say, why would you follow this guy? Why would you follow this God when he's there to persecute you, or when he's there to just oppress you and push you down, tell you what you can't do, take away your liberties? We talked in Bible study this last week about how we obey God. And we talked about our family, and we grew up on Highway 77, or we didn't, but the kids did, on Highway 77. If God said to me, Ron, don't do that, and I said, well, you know what, God, I'm going to go try it myself. I'm going to figure out what that means. I'm going to keep moving forward. If God said, Ron, stop, and I kept moving forward, I'm going to get into trouble. God loves me. God loves you. He's trying to tell you through his word, tell you through his commands, whoa, this is danger. Our children watched many, many pets get killed on Highway 77. Our children knew when we said stop, they had to stop. Not because we were mean, not because we were angry, but because we loved them and we did not want them to get hurt. So it is with God. God's command, God telling us this is what we need to do. And that's what we see here in this verse 12:5. That as a new creation, as a Christian, as a born-again believer, as a Christ one, however you view yourself as a true Christian, we see joy and we see desire to share God's word through these verses. Jesus says, But I warn you whom to fear. And this is verse 5. Fear him who, after he has killed you, has the authority to cast you into hell. When we look at this verse as a believer, and we study this sentence, we're going to see a number of points. I'm going to point out just a few today, and I'd encourage you to take this scripture home and study it, look at it, read it, maybe pick up another translation. If you're using ESV, then grab another one. Read another translation. See what King James says. Take a look at these scriptures. The first thing that jumps out to me as a believer is eternity. I tell you whom to fear. Fear he who has killed has the authority to cast into hell. As a believer, we go, eternity's real. there's two places, right? Heaven and hell. We, as a soul, will spend eternity in one of those two places. Heaven and hell. We as believers in Christ Jesus, who have been called from death into life, who have been pulled out of darkness and the death and the deceit that Satan tries to keep us in, we realize this concept of eternity, albeit with our human minds. We don't necessarily grasp it. We don't quite get it. But we know that we're not here on this earth for 4 or 3 score and 10. Right? Isn't that what the Bible tells us? That an old man will be 3 score and 10. An old man will get to be 70 years old. That's not the end. That's not the end. We have many with us today that have made it to 3 score and 10 and beyond. And we also know that the end of our life here is not the end. We, being born again as a new creation, we know the existence of heaven. And we look forward to that day when we as believers can rejoice with the presence of our Lord. No sun, no moon, just the glory of God shining, and we will be in his presence. Next, we see Jesus is the one who gives the warning. How often is that easy to overlook? To neglect Scripture, to fail to open our Bibles on a daily basis, to fail to study God's word with the power of the Holy Spirit. Because we often forget that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Ladies and gentlemen, our Scripture, our Bible, is just not a binding of words. It's not just the most printed book ever in history of books. It's not just some traditions and history of the old ancient people. It is a living and breathing document where we learn who Christ Jesus is, where we learn about the will that God has for us, that power that we have in knowing and feeling that Jesus is talking with us, that Jesus is walking with us. That's why so many times pastors are encouraging you, bring your Bible to church with you. Bring Jesus to church with you. When you're coming to church, don't leave Jesus at home. Make sure you bring him with. If you have your own personal Bible, maybe you're putting a note in there. Maybe you're highlighting something. Maybe you're underlining it. Maybe you're taking a mental picture of that page because you don't like to write in your Scripture. Next time you're reading through that in your Bible, you're going to go, I remember that. I remember that night that I was sitting here at Calvary and the pastor was talking about this and the Holy Spirit told me something totally different. Don't forget Jesus at home. Don't overlook the living and active gospel message that is the power of God unto salvation. Don't be ashamed of it. Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. Then, as we look at God, as we look at this scripture, we see the need to fear God. We as Lutherans really don't like that phrase, do we? We often want to think, well, fear means just awe and reverence. Like, I really just only want to think of God as being good and what he's done for me. That's not what this scripture is pointing us to exactly. This scripture is pointing us to God, who can take a born-again person, somebody that the Holy Spirit has talked to, somebody that has realized and understood what the law is and understands the concept of the law, and shows them hell. Shows them hell as a reality. All of a sudden, we start to think, wow, that's not what my friends were talking about. That's not what this world has been telling me. That's not what I saw in the commercial. That's not what I saw in the previews. All of a sudden, it becomes real of who God is, how God is just, how God is fair, and that payment for sin has to be made. Satan can't cast you into hell. Did you know that? Who knew that? Yeah, that's kind of a hit and miss question. Satan can't cast you into hell. Most people think, well, Satan's the one that sends you to hell. No. Satan's the one down there going, hey, it's pretty fun. You should come join me. That's all Satan can do. All Satan can do is tempt you, lie to you, deceive you, try to get you to sin. That's Satan's role. And he knows our nature, doesn't he? He knows the things in your life that are so personal and so real that just are right there. And like all the time, he figures it out. And you're like, man, why did that happen again? That is Satan's job. He causes you to sin. God is the one who sends you to hell. God is the one who can cast somebody into hell. How about this for a question then? And you don't have to show hands on this one. Who did Jesus purchase you from? Jesus came to this earth, went to the cross, spilt his blood for what? Well, to purchase us, right? Who did he purchase you from? Many people think, well, he purchased me from Satan, didn't he? No. He did not purchase you from Satan. He made the payment to God to set your receipt as paid in full. He made a payment to God so that God would say, you know what, Ron? Through the blood of Jesus, you are righteous. You know what, Sam? Through the blood of Jesus, you are righteous. He purchased us from God. We must not forget that. So as we look at that concept, and we look at this concept of fear, here's where the beauty of the gospel comes into place. The beauty of the gospel is, wow, look at this God who can send me to hell. Look at all that the Old Testament tells us. As we start looking at the Old Testament, as we look at the Ten Commandments alone, how we fail, how we stumble. God can cast us to hell. And then it is the power of the gospel message, isn't it? The power of the gospel message where we see and we understand and we believe that Jesus paid the price. Jesus declared from the cross, it is finished. And he accepts us. And in awe and reverence, we fear the Lord for everything that he has done for us, how he has called us, how he has saved us, how he gave us this wonderful and great and mighty gift. Oftentimes when I try to explain this to people, it would be like if one of the farmers here in the congregation gave me a piece off of a combine. And they're thinking to themselves, wow, Pastor Smith's going to be so excited. This thing is worth like $50,000. And they're going to give me this gift and they're going to be like, yeah. And I'm going to look at it and go, what is it? What do I do with it? That's law and gospel. The law shows to us how it is that we were wretched and sinful. The law points out to us what that piece of that combine really is. Why is that piece so important? Why is that piece so valuable? That's what the law points out. So when we see the gift of Jesus, we realize and we understand that Jesus made the price. He paid it, and we are his, and we are free. That is what God has done for us. Maybe you've known Jesus for many, many years. Maybe you've recently come to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Maybe this morning something changed, something happened, and you became filled with the love of God this morning. Fear God for what he can do. Fear God with awe and wonder because of what he did. Because of the joy and the salvation that we have in Christ Jesus. The reason we celebrate Easter morning, the reason we celebrate Sunday mornings, the reason we celebrate each and every morning is because Jesus paid the price. He removed the wrath of God. He is the propitiation of who God, and he is the propitiation. He removed God's wrath. This is the joy that turns to understanding. This is the joy that we have in knowing him. This is the joy that is to the world. So as you looked at why you were going to sing Joy to the World this morning, maybe some of you thumbed through, like, what are we going to do this morning? And you thought, Joy to the World? Who is this crazy guy? Joy to the world. We celebrate because of what Jesus did. Would you pray with me? Father God, we thank you so much for the power of your gospel, Lord, the power to show to us the value of the gift that Christ is. Lord, we thank you so much for the understanding that as you brought us to life by the power of the Holy Spirit, the law became real. The law became evident to us. Lord, we realized that we were driving too fast because of the law. And Lord God, we thank you so much this morning for grace and for mercy and for the plan of salvation you had when you called us, even from the foundation of the earth, that you knew us. Lord, we thank you so much. And Lord, as we come through a scripture like this, thank you for the revelation of the power of your word. For it is the word that saves. It is by faith alone, in scripture alone, by Christ alone. Even as we read from Ephesians this morning, Lord, knowing that it is not by my power, it is not by the power of men, it is not by our own power, but to you belong all glory and honor. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this time to gather. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.